Curtain Radio. Well, like I mentioned, it is stunning. It is, I saw it a week or so ago, the ABC documentary Ningaloo. In fact, it was written, narrated and executively produced by author and Australian Marine Conservation Society patron, Mr. Tim Winton. But joining us right now is Paul Gamblin. He is with the Australian Marine Conservation Society Protect Ningaloo, and he joins us. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Oh, hi, Jenny. Thanks so much for having me.
It was a brilliant documentary. It really was.
It's really special, isn't it? And it's actually a three-parter as well. So if you like the first episode, make sure that you catch the second and third episodes as well. The final episode screens next week. And really, I think for many of us who love Ningaloo, it helps us understand some of its deeper layers, the natural and cultural history of the place. It's almost infinite in its fascination, and it's just such a special area.
Well, you're right, and of course you were so close to it, and so was Tim for so long, and so many other people as well, but we, the untrained people, I suppose, to know about this into great detail, it was very, very enlightening. And you do have a few concerns. Could you just tell us when the others are going to be on, and I get confused. I switch channels so much at night. I think it was on Four Corners, wasn't it?
It is confusing. I'm with you on that. track where things are. So it is on the ABC, and 8:30 next Tuesday will be the final episode. But the people can watch it on iView as well. So you can watch the first two episodes on iView, and then the next episode next week.
I'll be doing it. Gee, the production was brilliant. How long did it take to put that all together, apart from the editing?
Yeah, it was filmed during COVID, which made it even more difficult. Even though we had the bubble in WA, a lot of the crew came from the eastern states, so that added another dimension to it. But it took over 50 weeks of filming, a huge amount of work. And one of the great things though about it is that what we're seeing up in the Ningaloo area is this crew of really talented people who can film underwater and can be filming from drones, etc., and are enormously talented. And some of those people are now working on other international productions as well. So we've got all this talent in Western Australia, and some of them have honed their skills on this documentary too.
It's worth seeing. It really is. It's just world class. In fact, is that the case? Is it going out around the world?
It is going out around the world as well, so I think people all over the place, and we know lots of people around the world really love Ningaloo, even people who haven't been there. They want to know that places like Ningaloo are going to be protected, and part of the reason for Tim making the documentary is to draw people's attention to not only how special it is, but some of the pressures that it's facing, and we're concerned about some of the directions that it could move in, and we're very keen to make sure that the ecology, the nature of the place is protected, and that the economy, which is based so much on the world-class tourism attractions and science that's increasingly happened, will actually forge a sustainable future.
Well, the area of Ningaloo Reef was World Heritage listed back in 2011. It was advised then that the other areas that you're concerned about should have been listed as well. Why were they ignored?
Unfortunately, Exmouth Gulf, which was identified as being an area that should have been protected in the World Heritage Area, wasn't, because of some industrial development voices back in the day. We don't think we'd see that nowadays. I think it's generally recognised this area is so special that it deserves protection. But that was enough back then, unfortunately, to stop that World Heritage listing, which would have sent a strong signal about the future of the area. To its credit, the McGowan government is now moving to protect large parts of that area, but we still have some major industrial development proposals, a port and a huge salt works that we're very concerned are just not a good fit for this very fragile place.
Is it going to move slowly, do you think, this protection? I mean, what is it going to take?
It is moving a bit too slowly for our liking, I have to say, but at least it's moving now. At least the government is beginning to indicate the direction that it wants things to move in. But we now have what feels like a bit of a race between protection and development prospects. And so we are worried about that. We are concerned about that, which is why we are campaigning hard to see the area protected. And we have very strong support from the Exmouth community. If you go up there, you'll see our banners and local businesses and bumper stickers everywhere. So that the community broadly wants the area protected. We just need to make sure that happens. And we've got some work ahead of us still.
What was the proposed development for the area?
So there are two major ones. There's a port called Gascoyne Gateway, which would build a 1 kilometre industrial wharf out into this very fragile area and attract large ships, the kinds of ships that you see off gauge roads in Fremantle, through what is one of the world's most important humpback whale nursery and resting area, where humpback whales nurse their calves before they take on a very difficult swim back down to Antarctica. We think that's just the wrong idea in so many ways. It would involve a lot of dredging as well. And then on the other side of the Gulf is a proposal to build a very large salt works in an area which is untouched. It's an area with mangroves and really important nutrients that feed into the Gulf and keep the Gulf and Ningaloo healthy. And it's vast. It's about the size of 28 King's Parks, if you can imagine that. Yeah, so it's just the wrong direction. It's the wrong place for that form of development.
So for it to be listed, World Heritage listed, which is your plan and hope, I suppose, and with what you've done, I think the world's going to become a lot more aware of how it has to be protected. I mean, you're looking at nature in its absolute best, aren't you? And I mean, the tourism up there, do they get to see it and keep it environmentally friendly at the same time?
Yeah, well, Ningaloo is famed for having some of the best managed tourism in the world. The whale sharks, of course, the whale shark experience is a bucket list experience, and it shows the value of a healthy natural environment. A lot of these species, though, are under pressure all over the world, and Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf represent some of the last places where some of these threatened species like dugongs, a whole range of species like swordfish, quite exotic sounding animals, it's actually a stronghold. So in Western Australia, and just in our backyard, we have one of the world's most important places for some of these threatened species, and they also form the basis for the tourism industry. People come from all over the world to experience this place, and also the culture that goes back 40,000 years, at least maybe 60,000 years, which is also described in detail in the documentary series, is another very important part of this area. And also there's a potential for cultural-based tourism in future, so people can understand the deep culture, First Nations culture in this area too. So there's so much to this area that we need to protect, and there's so much good economic development that can happen without threatening the very thing that attracts people to the area in the first place.
Is there any particular reason why these species are so attracted to that particular area?
It's very diverse. It has unusually high levels of biodiversity and a very diverse range of habitat. So there's the coral reef itself, which is one of the world's longest fringing coral reefs, and it's highly diverse. And there's also habitats like seagrass meadows and mangroves, and those kinds of habitats, which are shrinking all over the world, provide the food and sustenance to a whole range of species, a whole range of fish, sea snakes, other reptiles, turtles, dugongs, as I mentioned before, and hundreds of other species, and so that becomes important in a global sense. And that's part of what this documentary is showing and confirming, that this area isn't just important to us in WA or to Australia, it actually has global significance. And as the world and nature around the world comes under more pressure, places like Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf become all the more important, because they're just rarer, unfortunately. But it means that we have this opportunity as Western Australians to protect somewhere for our children, for their children, that is of global significance. That's very exciting.
It is extremely exciting, and you're certainly getting the message out there, and I'm sure something that will be a very positive outcome out of that, for sure. What other projects in Australia do you have any concern about, or WA in particular, any?
I think in WA there's an opportunity to really show how we can protect the marine environment and our coastline in ways that can be a beacon for the world. I mean, if we can't get it right, given the enormous capacity we have, the scientific institutions, the universities, the researchers, and our relative wealth in Western Australia, well, then no one really has a chance. And I think we can. I think we can show the world how we can get it right, how we can have economic activity that provides jobs and a good lifestyle for the community, but also doesn't damage the very environment that we love so much. So we have to be very careful and be much more active in protecting our coastline and also dealing with the impacts of climate change. And that's where Western Australia is really at a turning point, and climate change, unfortunately, is already impacting places like Ningaloo, and we need to get on with the job and make the transition away from fossil fuels very quickly. That's the bigger story around all of this, of course.
Paul, what has been the reaction so far with your documentary that's been out there? Now, people have seen it, people are thinking about it, talking about it, enjoying what we're seeing. How can they help?
The reaction has been very strong. I mean, enormous amounts of really heartfelt responses on social media we're seeing, and just in conversations as well. We had an event last week in Fremantle which sold out within about a day or two. Mm. It's showing the enormous interest, which gives me a real sense of hope. People ask me increasingly how I can maintain hope given the pressures on the environment. Well, it's this kind of response, this level of enormous interest that Western Australians and people generally have for the environment to find out more and to take action. People can visit Protect Ningaloo online or the Australian Marine Conservation Society. There's a letter they can sign asking the Federal Minister for the Environment, Tonya Plibersek, to support National Heritage Listing, which is a step towards World Heritage Listing. So there are things that people can do by showing their support, and we're seeing tens of thousands of people doing that. So I share your optimism that we can make a difference as we have before, but we also do have a long way to go, and we are going to need the community support to get where we need to go.
I think you'll definitely get it. Talk about local support. What about world environmental groups that may see this documentary or get to hear about it? Would they give their support, do you think? Have you been in touch with people like that?
Yeah, and I used to work at the international level as well. I think this area has that kind of status increasingly. I mean, it's still remote, though, of course. I mean, we know it as Western Australians, but it's still a remote part of the world. So it's being discovered, and we also have to manage that level of interest because it's a busy place. Exmouth is a busy place now, right across the year. I mean, there's lots of people visiting. So we need to make sure that the impacts of visitors are managed and the government has taken some action, some steps towards that. But overall, it's actually showing how much people care, and that there is a nature-based economy that can really persist into the future. But like so many lessons we've learned around the world, if we damage the natural assets, the natural capacity, if you like, then we lose the economic benefits as well. So we're seeing a bit of a change in attitude there, and we hope that Ningaloo can help drive that shift faster.
I think we, the average punter, needs to be reminded often, and these documentaries really make a difference. David Attenborough, of course, made a big difference what we thought about things around the world as well, and I think you guys are on the same par as that. I think it was absolutely brilliant. Next week they can, or you can go to iView and look at the first two, but the next one, of course, as you mentioned, is on Four Corners, on the ABC, 8:30 next Tuesday night, not Four Corners.
That's right. That's right.
Brilliant. Thank you very, very much indeed. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
Really appreciate it, Jenny. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.